Hello, darlings. This is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and you're listening to the Deeply Dapper Dispatches with Chris, Ben, and Devin.
I hate sororities, and I hate you.
Hey there, pod people. It is... I don't know what day
is it. I put the 28th in my gas journal, but I think
We never broadcast this on the same day that we're actually...
It's the 28th.
Anyway.
Yeah, but it gives them a good idea of when we recorded.
It's like the use-by date.
Yeah.
Bread.
Like, God, this is old.
Use me by right now, please.
Oh, these guys are going to be talking about old news.
I heard about that on the internet.
The internet's where I get all my news. If you couldn't tell, pod people... Ben is back with us this week,
Ben.
Which is why we didn't even make it through the introduction before we went off topic, because that's how he rolls. Welcome back to the show, Ben.
Transform and
scripts
roll out.
Are for suckers.
Scripts are for suckers.
Oh boy.
We're down in Dungeon Theater. We just got done watching Riverdale Episode 1 and the first episode of the first season of Scream Queens, which we had not seen yet.
Yeah.
See, this is old news.
That part might be old for those people that haven't seen that yet, but we hadn't.
I would like to believe that there are also people like me that don't actually get to see things the minute they come out.
I also
because
feel
they have
like...
lives or whatever. I don't have a life.
Well, let's get to that when we get to that.
Okay.
First, let's do some drink check.
Check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
And these?
These are lost drunken men who don't know where they are, but do care.
So what are we drinking
Which
tonight?
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking something different. You guys talk about your beer, and I'm just going to, like, drink my beer.
We're drinking a milk stout, so Devin can't have any because he's vegan.
Yeah, I'm with those people.
Well, it's the product of animal cruelty.
Or at least animal squeezings. This beer has animal squeezins in it. We are drinking a gift from the lovely Carlin, who we're hoping to coax back onto the show at some point here.
I love Carlin. I
we
back
love
on the show.
Carlin.
I really wish she'd been here for Scream Queens. No offense,
yes.
Ben. I love you, but I wish she had been here for Scream
Queens.
Yeah,
Carlin would have lots of interesting things.
I'm apparently only three people are allowed on a show at a time.
I don't know. That's always... No, I guess you're,
Lindsay's
been
on at least
okay.
one.
All right, then we
yeah.
can all come.
Oh, I see. Apparently there's only allowed, we're only about three people when I'm on the show.
No, she's, no, Lindsay's
she was
on been
with
on
you.
With
no.
you.
No, she hasn't.
Yes,
wasn't
she has.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well, this
never happened.
This is a conversation for a later time, listeners.
Clearly.
We are drinking Ninkasi Special Release Noir Milk Stout with Cold Brewed Coffee.
Their labels are great.
They are.
It's Speakeasy, right? Yeah? No,
oh,
it's Ninkasi. Oh, I like Ninkasi.
Their labels
too.
Aren't as good, but they're not bad. It's not bad. It's bitter.
It's pretty good.
No, it's a 7.6.
I don't taste the bitterness that you taste.
Alcohol? The hops stuff really...
However...
Like, the hops taste gets me.
This is your first drink of the night, and I'm a few chapters into this
you're
book
You're at least
already.
Seven chapters in, aren't you?
He's on the fifth book of a George R.R. Martin epic.
I wonder if that new one's coming out this year.
I doubt it.
Yeah. So, should we move on to a little bit of news with just this just in?
Wow, you've had, like, no beer, and you're slurring?
That strong.
With this just in.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing any pants.
I'm not. Well, never mind.
Does anybody have any news?
I was going to ask you that.
Of interest.
Do you have any news?
I have one piece, and...
Which is?
And another unfortunate death already. For fuck's sake, we can't have a single episode without talking about it.
We do need to talk about that. What
did you talk about last time?
Miguel Ferrer from
Twin Peaks
and RoboCop.
Oh,
and
right.
Yesterday, John Hurt passed away. And... It fucking sucks is really all I can even say about it. Because... He's probably in
my... You're
going
to kick me on that joke? Yeah. That was your joke.
Yeah, one, you can't reuse my joke, and two, my joke was terrible, so... Anyway, yeah. No, everybody knows John Hurt. Like,
from something. Absolutely.
And you can't be a fan of film and not know John Hurt. Like, between Eraserhead with David Lynch and Alien with Ridley Scott... Or storyteller Jim Henson.
You know, the one that I think most people have, like, that I found most people associate him with is actually V for Vendetta.
Yeah, that's the most modern one that people immediately recognize him from. That and Harry Potter as Ollivander.
Who's Ollivander, by the way? I don't know.
He's the wand guy. He's the one that gives them their wand.
Okay, I got that.
Yeah, he played the mayor in V for Vendetta.
The Chancellor.
The Chancellor, yeah.
Or whatever.
You haven't seen that, have you?
No, I won't. I mean, Alan Moore has rightfully disowned all of his film adaptations. And, dude, I really like Alan Moore, and I've never seen an Alan Moore story done well on screen.
I thought V for Vendetta is fantastic.
I thought they did a good job, actually. Okay, but what have you seen of his adaptations on screen?
At least Swamp Thing.
Really?
Okay.
Which I guess they were probably trying to adapt the Bernie Wrightson Len Wein, but it was still terrible.
It was
Wes fucking Craven, for the love of God.
I feel like your criteria for disavowing all Alan Moore stuff revolves more around the crazy druid disavowing all adaptations of his work than any actual adaptations of his work.
That crazy druid is still a lot saner than a lot of people. He's saner than Frank fucking Miller.
Frank Miller's a nutbag.
Right, a douchey nutbag. I'll take Alan Moore any day. At least Alan Moore is still producing good work.
I'm not saying that's not true. But he's also crazy. But he's crazy in, like, a wonderful way.
I think he's just magical.
Alan Moore. Yeah. Well, he's a druid.
Is he actually a druid?
I don't know.
I mean, he looks like one. I don't think he actually is, but yeah.
A wizard?
He's a gardener.
No, I just think he's really incredibly well-educated and kind of strange.
Oh, he's insanely well-educated. There's no question about that. And he writes wonderful stuff, and I think, I mean, like, what else have they adapted? They've done Watchmen, which...
So, yeah, they did Watchmen, they did From Hell, they did V for Vendetta,
That's it, right? League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Oh, which, so, yeah, see, I've seen League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. That's modern.
That's sort of modern. It's terrible. Okay, I'm going to say of the Alan Moore adaptations, V for Vendetta is really the one worth watching.
Yeah, it's only one of those that you've named that I actually thought was good.
Yeah, the other ones, not so much. Watchmen
I don't know much about Alan Moore. Yeah. I have read Watchmen. I actually turned it off like halfway through.
It's really, yeah, I mean, there's some good performances in it, but the movie itself is terrible.
I don't know why, I do know why you'd make the attempt, but I can't imagine never pulling it off.
They did as admirable a job as you could with given the source material, but there's no way you can adapt that.
I guess I should suck it up since I'm in
Studio 300. Who is that?
Frank Miller.
Frank Miller, not Alan Moore.
Actually, I like the film
gotcha.
100 times more than I like the comic.
Which one? Like both of those, actually.
It's 300.
Oh.
Yeah.
They actually add, you know, female characters who are strong.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, you care about what's going on.
Yeah,
like,
honestly.
It's the only good thing Zack Snyder's
ever done. Abraham Lincoln. No, the like one guy at the Senator, he's like the old man, like Senator.
Yeah.
He looks exactly like Abraham Lincoln, but he has abs.
I'm relatively certain.
Abraham Lincoln?
I'm relatively certain that is the guy that plays the blind guy in Don't Breathe.
Oh,
who
really?
He's talking about. I think. But I'm not 100% sure because I know he's in 300.
Did we talk about the fact that Don't Breathe might be getting a sequel?
I don't know how I feel about that.
I feel hopeful that it doesn't suck.
I mean, I loved that movie. It was really good.
It was pretty good, yep.
But it was also really well-rounded as a single movie.
Yeah. And I don't automatically assume that all open-ended endings deserve sequels.
They don't. They don't need it.
Just like I don't think that if you start a movie in medias res, then you automatically need three fucking prequels.
Right. I want Jane Levy to leave right off into the sunset and not have to ever relive any of this.
Yes.
And I feel like you'd lose some of the menace of the blind guy if he's not in that enclosed space.
Right. And yeah, the more we learn about him, probably the less threatening he becomes.
Right.
And I don't want to humanize him.
Or slasherify him.
Or, yeah, I mean, that would be, like, either version would...
It would be a disservice.
It would
to
be
the
a disservice
movie.
To the...
Yeah.
And it's a good film. So.
It is. It is. You haven't seen that, Ben? You'd like it. It's really good.
I think it's in Redbox. I don't know if you Redbox, but...
What's Redbox? Oh, never mind. I know what Redbox is.
It's the thing that briefly replaced video stores.
Anyway,
does anybody else, like, this is a little off subject, like,
what?
I know, shocking. Does anybody else think that it's a terrible, terrible advertising move for the paid version of YouTube to be
red? Yeah.
YouTube? Since
yeah.
there's, like, a very prominent porn movie site called RedTube?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so my impression was that YouTube Red was gonna have more controversial content, like, boobs and stuff.
Is it?
Well, I don't know.
Is that what it is?
It might, but...
Does anybody actually subscribe to this?
No, I certainly don't. I'm not going to pay to watch YouTube, but I know that they're having, like, exclusive content on it, because John Cassier is played a role in some YouTube Red exclusive
television. I think this is a terrible idea for them.
I just think it's a stupid name.
I think it's an incredible waste of
money.
U-boob.
I think it should be Pink Box.
Oh! I'm actually really surprised someone hasn't come out with one of those exclusively for vending videos at porn shops.
Yeah.
You know, automation is just killing jobs.
It really is.
We don't need robots distributing our porn.
Let's keep creepy porn. And I shouldn't say that because I've had at least three friends that have worked at porn shops. None of them are creepy.
Well, it's because it's not actually the creepy porn person isn't actually usually the thing. It's usually a very uncomfortable woman behind the counter.
Right. Exactly. All three of my friends that have worked at porn shops have been women.
That's exactly like my impression too. Is
did
usually
I,
they're like horribly uncomfortable.
Did I tell you guys about the guy that worked at Dirty Dave's in Maine that we went and like
Dirty Dave's?
Dirty
Dave.
Okay, it's the
Was
real name
Dirty
is
Dave?
Called Dave's Adult Superstore, but everyone called it Dirty Dave's, and it was like in a house that had been converted to a shopping
area. Oh my
area.
God! Come on in my basement.
Compounding the dirty.
More different dildos than I've ever seen in my entire life. We're talking literally three floors.
This is a terrible idea
of
to convert a house into it. It's like, you know, we keep the most dirty hardcore stuff in my mom's
old. Well, okay, so here's the thing, like in the basement, it still had the exposed rafters up in the top, and that's where they had the lubes lined up along the top with the pricing tack to it.
Is that brilliant?
And so we went in there because we'd never been in before, and they had a big sign up that said 75% off Halloween costumes. And I was like, well, fuck.
No,
Halloween costumes. Sexy top. So we went in, and we actually found a couple of Halloween costumes that were, like, crazy cheap.
To get your naughty nurse outfit.
Yeah,
were they crazy cheap
anymore.
Because they had no fabric?
No. There was boning. In the corsets.
Oh.
That is such a terrible...
I want to say that was a bad pun, but it was actually really clever.
So, anyway,
I want to glass you, but that was great.
We're checking out, and the guy that's ringing us up is like a mid-20s guy. And he's like, oh, nice costumes. This one's really cool. And for some reason, all of a sudden, he changed the topic, and he's like, have you guys ever met any wrestlers?
What?
And we're like,
I mean,
I've been to a couple of conventions, and there were a couple of guys at one, but I didn't get a chance to meet him. And he's like, I met Hulk Hogan on the beach one time, and I didn't really say anything to him because I was nervous about meeting him, because I love Hulk Hogan, I love the Hulkster, and I regret it now. And I was just thinking about that when you guys were coming up. I was thinking about the time I almost met Hulk Hogan on the beach, and I thought, if I only had said something to him, maybe we could be friends.
That's a very bizarre.
Friends.
This was before all of the Hulk Hogan stuff came out.
I had a very similar.
Yeah,
I had a very
stuff.
Similar to that
like
event to that guy's story
and all that stuff.
With the Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno. I met him at the at a urinal. We peed next to each other.
Didn't you pee next to LeVar Burton?
I did. I peed next to LeVar Burton.
I walked past him going to the bathroom, and he's coming from the bathroom.
Lou Ferrigno is enormous. Like, Lou is. I'm a pretty big guy, and he is enormous.
Did you pee next to him? Is that how you know that?
Next to him, yeah. we were at urinals right next to each other.
Are we talking about height or size or girth?
Both, man. Both. Wow, come on, seriously. Seriously. I was not going to peek over the barrier at the Incredible Hulk.
So anyway, that was the most... strangely, that's the most awkward conversation I've ever had with somebody at a porn shop.
So, like, was he just, like, daydreaming and he wanted to share?
He was just daydreaming and was just wanted to tell me about the time he almost met Hulk Hogan.
Was it super slow in that porn
store? Oh my god, it was... It's Bangor, Maine. In November.
Yeah, well, doesn't everybody want to bang in Maine in November?
If you'd ever been to Bangor, Maine, you would know that there's no taking off that many layers to bang.
Well, so, not each other.
So when I, like I don't even think that the porn store is even open anymore, but that alternative video that was across the street from Budget.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That one?
My friend Melinda worked there.
Yeah. Well, I had a friend that worked there. I'm not going to name her name on a podcast.
I mean, I've changed her name to protect the guilty.
Yeah, it was actually Belinda.
But so, like, I would go visit her while she was working at the store and stuff, because it was very strange, because she was the most uncomfortable person to ever have been working in a porn store. Like, it was hilarious to actually visit her there. But I'd go there with Disney sometimes.
Oh, jeez, really?
Oh, but Disney would not set foot actually in the porn store.
That doesn't surprise me.
So he would wander up and down the street because he didn't want to be seen hanging outside of it either.
A guy named Disney?
Disney, yep.
Yeah.
Was that his real name?
His good wholesome
values.
That's
his real nickname.
He had good wholesome values.
Well, Walt Disney doesn't, so I don't understand.
Disney. He just watches G-rated movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Sprite.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So
anyway, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he would just wander up and down the whole time. And I admit that I actually used to go there on purpose just to antagonize him, just to make him walk up and down the street.
Yes.
I would just hang out watching him, like, walk up and down.
Where were you renting at the porn store when you made your poor G-rated?
I didn't rent. I've never actually rented any porn. I have a hard time with the idea of you ever actually renting something when you can just look things up online for free.
The internet is for porn.
Paying for things is not.
The internet is for porn.
Yeah, it's just not, like... It seems...
Actual pornography, I don't think I've ever paid for.
I think in my entire life I've owned one Playboy magazine that was one with Drew Barrymore in it. That was literally all I've ever owned as far as that.
I've had porn, I've just never paid for it.
So I've rented porn maybe two or three times. Once was when I turned 18, because obviously, like, the first thing I did was finally buy my own cigarettes, get a lottery ticket, which was dumb.
Oh, you know what? That's true. I actually bought... I went and bought a porn mag when I turned 18, actually.
Yeah, and I got a membership to one of the porn stores, and I don't even remember what the fucking porn was, because, like, all of my friends were punks, and we had, you know, the punk house.
Right.
And so, like, I took it over there, and we're all going to watch this porn, and the VCR immediately ate it, and I had to pay for the goddamn thing. It was $60, because porn tapes are expensive.
Oh, they're obscenely expensive.
So I think we saw maybe 15 minutes of this fucking thing, and it just got destroyed. So,
when Video City was on Yellowstone, I had a buddy that worked there, and he would always slip, like, one extra video in with whatever we were renting. We would rent, like, a bunch of videos, and he would just be like, oh, yeah, you need to watch this. And he would just slide one in. And
they didn't have porn there.
They did.
What?
They totally did. Yeah. And that was... But you didn't... Like, it was stuff you didn't know about. Like, they had... it was a Mardi Gras video. But technically, it was like a Mardi Gras video you think of, like, oh, yeah, they're just going to show boobs. No, this was like a full-on porno. It, like, actually had penetration,
what?
All this stuff. Yeah.
Or, like, those Girls Gone Wild videos and shit.
But the thing is I realized that day that it is, that's the kind of stuff that's really, like, it becomes incredibly awkward when you're sitting next to your buddy and suddenly
you're
like, watching this, and it's like, this is...
You don't want
to
deal with the broner.
But the worst about that was Great American Video. So, like, around the time that Fast and the Furious came out, you know? Because, like, I love cheesy movies. I don't even care. I watch, like, the cheesiest movies all the time. So I go for, like, the stupid knockoff. Like, anytime there's a big hit, there's always the knockoff version.
Right, the Asylum video.
Yeah,
right.
You know? When the Blair Witch came out, there was the weird Bigfoot, like Jersey Devil one and stuff. And I love those because they're so stupid.
I would rather watch a film about the Jersey Devil than the fucking Blair Witch. But
It was terrible. But there was one, and we rented it, and thinking back on it, it sounds so stupid that we were caught off guard by this, but it was called Maximum Thrust.
Oh my god,
this movie was like, I mean, it was not rated.
It was not rated.
And so we're like, but you're within like the first 10 minutes of it, there's this point where the girl loses like a race to another person, and like the deal was he could get something off of her car, any piece of like the engine or whatever, and the like, mechanic girl's like, "Or you can take me."
Oh Jesus!
And it was like, it was not like a hardcore porn, but it was totally like an X-rated porn,
cheesy softcore
at Great American Video. Like you just go and rent it. They were not rated either, so you could be like like 13 years old and rent this.
So rest in peace, John Hurt.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that took a wild tangent, didn't it?
Wow. I love how you had to make that, like, so somebody is like, guys, oh, God, seriously, we turned
the subject a little bit there.
How did that happen?
Because we started talking about Alan Moore and V for Vendetta, and then we went, I don't know, you're
oh,
here.
V for Vendetta.
Ben's on the show, that's really the only excuse we need.
Fuck.
Oh, man.
So anyway... Back on topic of just this just in.
Bear back on topic.
I was very bummed to hear about it. Speaking of bareback, though, another podcast I listened to...
is this mine?
Yeah, that's yours. God, what the fuck's it called now? Who made that? The Dr. Hit West pin... That I gave you the bat.
Oh, yeah. No, those people rule, and I will not remember their name.
I can't remember either. I feel really bad about it, though. I met them at Sinister Creature Con. Anyway, they just released an exclusive limited edition thing. Oh, my God.
This is Dr. Hill pin, by the way.
Dr. Hill. Yes, thank you. Oh, yeah, sorry.
If you're searching on your phone.
You know... I think there's an extremely good chance that we were live streaming on Instagram via my dog account.
Well, that would explain some things.
That really would.
Live streaming your dog account? You have a dog account?
I have a separate Instagram account for my dog pictures.
I didn't even, like, look at what
account
it was.
How does Instagram work? Is it like a Facebook or is it like
magic.
A Snapchat type thing?
It's like Facebook,
although
all you do is post pictures.
The video stories is directly from Snapchat.
It
the
is.
What? They
yes.
just stole that, really.
The what?
So now you can have video stories at the top of Instagram. It's just Snapchat videos, pretty much.
Yeah, it's something where you can post it and then it immediately disappears afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I was streaming that under our dog account. So anybody that tried to watch us live streaming our viewing of Riverdale, I apologize. It was on my cute puppy pictures Instagram account, I think.
Oh, I can only imagine people like looking for cute puppies going, what the hell is this?
So anyway, Forever Midnight is the name of the podcast.
Hmm.
They have come out with a new item that's limited to 300, just in time for Valentine's Day, because they do quite a few enamel pins
now as
well.
Is it an ice pick?
No, it's a Necronomicondom.
Oh my god.
Necronomicondom? Oh shit! Oh, that's really cool.
It's amazing.
Is it?
It's blood red, and it's in a... like a matchbox,
like an Evil Dead,
the shape
style.
Of the neck of
yeah.
the Necronomicon.
That's actually really cool.
It's clever as shit.
I would love a bowl of those.
I would say it's
that.
Clever as fuck.
Oh.
So you can get that on their website, forevermidnight.net. It's limited to 300. I imagine those will sell really fast.
I mean, I would
Devin's gonna have like a, instead of a candy jar, a, like candy bowl on his coffee
He's
table.
He's just gonna have a Necronomicondom.
Necronomicondoms all over.
And it'll
the place.
Stay there forever with how often I get laid.
Oh my.
Candy jars aren't really for you, they're for company.
Yeah, just so for decoration.
So I did have a tiny bit of news. Just one item.
I thought the condom was it.
No, it wasn't actually. That was John Hurt
again.
No, I don't want to talk about John Hurt anymore because it really upset me when he passed away.
It's not that we hurt again.
We just keep
getting
off topic.
We're hurting all the time.
Yeah.
It's true. We all hurt. Everybody hurts.
Sometimes.
You guys suck so much. So Godzilla 2 is coming out.
To Gareth Edwards, right?
No, not Gareth Edwards.
No,
Michael Dougherty.
Yeah,
is
that's
directing.
I knew it was somebody
Godzilla
that I cared
2.
About.
Michael Dougherty's the guy that did Trick or Treat in Krampus.
Yeah, and Gareth Edwards did the first one that sucked.
Correct.
But he also did Rogue One,
which
is
great.
Which
is
so great. It's not his fault.
They've just cast Millie Bobby Brown.
They have not.
In Godzilla 2.
They have not.
Oh my goodness.
11. From Stranger Things. That's really interesting casting.
Oh my god! Oh, I would still watch, like, a film that was just the cast of Stranger Things, like, figuring
Fighting
out how to
Godzilla?
Deal with Godzilla.
I know! I think that's great.
The scientists are baffled, but the kids can put the puzzle together.
Well, fucking Mike Dougherty can direct kids like crazy, man.
Oh,
I mean, the kids in
right.
Krampus and Trick or Treat are
mm-hmm.
so great.
Right. And it's so weird to, like... Yeah.
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 I'm
like,
excited about
he's
that.
He's like Joe Dante and Steven Spielberg, but he hasn't jumped the shark.
Right.
I didn't say that if Joe...
It nuked the fridge, you mean.
Yeah.
Joe Dante, we want you to direct some good shit again.
Yes, we do.
What was the Small Soldiers, the last thing he did that we loved?
The last good thing, yeah.
Alas.
Alas, indeed. That was... I was still in high school...
Yeah, it was forever ago. I mean, he's only put out, like, two other things since then.
Yeah, I think
but...
The Hole and that one movie we hated.
Yeah, with...
Oh, except he did two episodes of Masters of Horror.
Which were, one of which was really
good. Was The Hole the one with Keira Knightley?
No,
I don't think so.
I think it's a different one. Because that's the one where she's, like, super young and they're, like, just stuck down in a hole or something like that,
right? Oh, no, yeah. This one's about kids and there's, like, a hole that leads to nowhere in their house.
I don't know if I've seen that.
I used to think there was a hole that led to nowhere in our house when we were kids, too.
Yeah,
maybe
you
should watch
it. It was that weird little, like, down in the basement.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing that maybe we should have known, but maybe we didn't. First of all, it was called Burying the X, is the one that we didn't like.
Don't watch that.
In 2016, he has directed an episode of Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh,
MacGyver.
I knew about that, actually.
2 episodes of Salem, and 10 episodes of Hawaii Five-0.
Hmm. Huh.
That's weird.
Is Hawaii Five-0 still on?
It is.
It's a new version of Hawaii
Well, yeah, no, I know. I just, I figured it was going to go the way of...
My mom loves that show.
Now, here's the thing that I think is interesting is his upcoming projects. In production, he has a movie called Labyrinthius, which has nobody I've ever heard of attached to it.
Oh, no, never mind.
But it's a mysterious maze buried underneath an abandoned Soviet research facility where supernatural disturbances occur. He's directing The Man with Kaleidoscope Eyes, which is the biopic about Roger Corman.
Okay.
Which sounds fucking amazing.
I'm down with that, yeah.
And then he's doing something called Monster Love.
Okay, just out of curiosity, who are we talking about now?
Joe Dante.
The director of...
Yeah. Gotcha.
Which
Chris just got me a poster signed by Joe Dante, which... Oh my god.
Happy birthday,
god.
Devin!
Jesus.
So that was the only news I had. I don't know if you guys have anything else, but... Joe Dante, porn stores, John Hurt, and Millie Bobby Brown...
Oh, please never use Millie Bobby Brown's name in porn in the same sentence ever
and,
again.
And Necronomicondoms and Millie Bobby Brown. No.
Oh, stop.
11.
She's adorable.
She is adorable. adorable.
She's
amazing.
I am such a fan.
She's a great little actress. I think she's fantastic.
I think
she's
nothing but greatness for her future.
So cool in person too. Adorable.
Shut up.
I'll throw your cat at you. She doesn't have claws. So
she has back claws.
He's gonna throw pussy at you.
I'll throw the back of her at you.
Please don't throw my cat ass at me. Should we move on to the reviews?
Mm-hmm.
They've been given another case, Mulder. It has a monster in it.
So we watched two things. This is the TV episode.
We watched some catty things.
We did watch all sorts of catty things. Good Lord. So we watched the first episode of
Scream Queens,
which...
I feel like we should do it the other way around.
Yeah, but Riverdale's like the new one, so it feels like that should be
This is old news, I guess.
Well, so the reason we decided to watch Scream Queens was twofold.
We haven't watched
one
before.
Jamie Lee Curtis, and two, it sounded interesting enough that I feel like maybe the people who listen to our show would be the people who'd be like, "Ugh, fuck that noise! I'm not going to watch that. It looks terrible."
And who?
It never looks terrible. Who says it looks terrible?
People.
Ah, people suck.
Okay, think about it though. Like, okay, let's
Why
think
have
about.
Not watched it until now.
I have not ever had. We watched it on your Hulu.
TV, Anders, no,
I don't have Hulu.
Okay, but let's think about Scream Queens. If it didn't have Jamie Lee Curtis in it, would you have any interest in it at all?
So my impression was that it was a horror comedy on television. Yeah,
horror
I might have.
Might have, right. So I'm just saying that some people may not have watched it, so I thought it would be cool for us to watch it. I don't know why you guys are fighting me on this, but...
I'm not fighting. He's fighting.
What did I do was fighting?
Nothing.
You were, like, curious about, like, why, and I was like, well, would you have ever watched it? And you were like, I don't watch TV. TV was that. My entertainment is banging sticks on trees.
So anyway...
I hate Blair Witch.
What did you guys think?
Scream Queens, right?
Yes.
I liked it.
I thought it was really good.
I loved the ever-loving shit out of it.
It was so shocked.
It was so much funnier than I ever thought it was actually going to be. I didn't know it was a comedy. I really honestly did not know this was a comedy.
I didn't either. I thought it was going to be American Horror Story with teen kids kind of thing.
Oh, no, I would have been way more into that, although I think that this is perfect. I knew it was a comedy, and that was the thing that was
that turned you off,
right. Yeah.
Right.
Despite the fact that, like, looking through the list of horror movies that I really genuinely love a lot,
they're horror comedies.
Lot of them are hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis was fucking amazing in this. We've only seen the first episode. I honestly can't wait to see more of it because I want to see her in it.
Like, also, like, I think the story is woven well enough that I honestly don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in knowing.
The mystery is genuinely interesting.
How the fuck is this going to play out?
Yeah.
Who's the killer?
Who's the devil?
Yeah. Devil's in the details. Oh.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah. And you knew it was before you even said it.
I did.
So Emma Roberts plays Grand High Queen Bitch of a sorority.
Wow. Yeah, she's Heather number one.
She's pretty fucking amazing in this. She kills it, honestly. Oh. I knew that was bad coming out too, but you know.
Oh, God.
But I mean, like the narration in this is really good.
Carolina Reaper poop.
It's super Heathers-esque in terms of the way it's filmed and all the tributes.
Oh, this is Heathers tribute heavy.
Yeah,
like from the heads in the ground to the croquet mallets to the ribbon on Def Taylor Swift's head.
Yeah,
like. I mean, and even the dialogue is like it's this. Super unreal, snappy, really snarky dialogue.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not just Heathers, but it's Joss Whedon or it's Greg Araki.
Mm-hmm.
There's this, like, super style of black comedy that comes with this pithy dialogue.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, black comedy is not a thing that was around for a while. I feel like.
Right.
Probably post 9/11. We lost our snark. And, well, you know, maybe that's for the best during the time, but Oh my god, I've missed it.
Well, particularly in television, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like, there are some good black comedy films coming out.
Not like it was
not
in
a
the
ton.
90s.
Right.
90s was,
I mean,
like heyday of
like
black comedy.
Tucker and Dale.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. There's a little bit of that Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, it's extraordinarily self-aware.
Yeah.
It is so self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And the jokes, like, holy shit. Like, it's very Scream-esque.
Mm-hmm. It is.
At points, especially, I feel like at that one particular death that involves social media.
Right.
Which I'm usually irritated at the inclusion of things like social media in films as a plot point, because it always feels forced.
It does.
Like, and plus, like, 2 days after you include any technology in a film, it's outdated.
Right.
Like, it's outdated before it fucking hits theaters or TV or whatever. But this feels fairly contemporary, and I think it's smart.
I think they incorporated it in a way that was really well done. Like, that entire scene, honestly, with Ariana Grande and the devil was so good.
It really was.
Like, the texting was ridiculous and it was over the top, but the way this entire episode was filmed, it totally fucking fit, like, perfectly.
Right. Like, it's amazing how many different feels they can combine. Because, like, some of the cinematography is straight out of every 80s slasher.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the devil standing just off to the side.
I mean, really, if you are a fan of any era horror film, there is something for you in this.
Yeah, I'm shocked at how smartly done this is. And it skewers both the teen catty genre, the sorority movies, and the slashers and horror films.
Yeah, everything.
I'm genuinely excited about watching the next episode of this.
Like, if I had one complaint at all, it's that, like, anytime anybody would realistically swear, they say, you know, the PG alternative. And
right.
I think this is a concession for how much fucking gore is in this. Because, oh my god, there is some disturbing images of violence.
What the fuck? Yeah.
Holy crap.
Like, I'm genuinely shocked by that.
So they must have, like, done a trade-off where, like, okay, we won't say bitch or shit or damn, but oh my god, we're gonna burn some flesh.
Yeah, we're gonna watch somebody peel their scorched flesh off their
face. Oh my god.
Jesus Christ.
Gross. And, like, only a little bit of it has been digitally augmented. Like,
right.
It's clear there's a practical background to all of that.
Yeah, there's some really, really nice practical stuff.
It seriously looks good.
Yeah. I am genuinely surprised at how much I enjoyed this movie. Like, I thought it was... Or show,
pilot.
Whatever.
I mean,
yeah.
The pilot's an hour and 40.
Yeah, so it's a solid movie, really. So this was created by Brad Falchuk, who did produce and write and is one of the guys that did Glee and American Horror Story. So, I mean, it has a lot of those notes and kind of the bones from that.
Notes and bones.
But I feel like this is a little more realized than those ones are in a lot of ways.
I've not seen Glee, and I haven't seen any more than the pilot of American Horror Story, so...
I really like American Horror Story.
We've had this discussion on the
show. I love
the
anthologies.
Twice, so.
I've never seen Glee. Ben has. But you said you hated it because it was depressing, right?
It's
depressing?
It's labeled as a comedy, and it is not a comedy. It's not funny. But, like, if you get, like, duped into, like, you're looking for a sitcom, and that'll come up on the, like,
and you're
when
like,
you're
oh, I like music
comedy lift, list. Well, thanks. It is absolutely not. It's, I don't think like, you could probably watch, like, 3 episodes and not laugh once. It's not.
Well, that's not Scream Queens, definitely.
No, because I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, and great cast. Like, all the supporting cast is really good.
Everybody except for, what's his name?
Yeah, the news reporter guy. He
that
sucks.
That was a weak link. I don't...
Yeah.
Like, and he's such a good idea. Like, I like that there's this, you know, male investigative reporter.
I feel
he
like
feels
he's the
like,
red herring.
I do, too.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I won't talk about that because that's spoilery, but yeah. He's not the only red herring.
Spoiler, the 2-year-old TV series.
Well,
Yeah, and you know,
but it's true. Let's not spoil.
Right.
I mean, it is. It's a fun show.
Yeah, he plays Pete in this, and I don't care for him very much in this.
I think the character would have been better if they'd cast him better.
Yeah, he's just a little too smarmy.
He's the Hayden Christensen of this show.
I would have liked Hayden Christensen better, frankly.
You would have liked a whinier version of an investigative reporter.
I've seen Hayden Christensen in films that weren't Star Wars, and he didn't suck.
Yeah.
You want a latte?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, he's not any whinier than Adam Driver. Jesus.
So
he's Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
Oh.
Kylo Ren.
Okay, at least he had an intimidating voice, though.
Yeah.
At least he had an intimidating voice. Like, my problem with Hayden Christensen, it all boils down to the fact that if you had, like, almost anyone else delivering those same lines, it would have been okay.
I think that's true.
Like, a normal person, let's take the one line of, like, he's holding me back. And you take anyone else under the sun, it's like, he's holding me back. You make it a little sinister, he's holding me back. But instead, Hayden Christensen went throughout of, they're holding me back, me. My pocket protector's really cool. You know, it's like it's ridiculous.
You've clearly watched this show way more recently than I have, because I don't
actually
even remember that line.
I have because I was trying to get Skylar into watching because I wanted to watch the first three before I went and saw Rogue One, so that Nicky, because he's never seen any Star Wars.
That's madness.
But so. Nobody actually needs to see the prequels. It's not necessary to understand anything that's going on. They're not good films.
But they're at the same time, it was just the progression, it was just the whole story.
So has he watched the
we haven't
original
yet.
Ones
we haven't
yet?
Watched it yet, no.
Interesting.
And why would he want to at this point?
No, he loved them. He actually loved the
4, 5, and 6.
But you're a kid.
Growing up having never seen the original trilogy, getting to see the first three might not be that bad if you can remove yourself
He loved Rogue One.
And you've never seen any science fiction before.
We went and saw Rogue One in the theaters, and it was spectacular.
Rogue One is great.
Because Rogue One is actually
a really good
film.
It's so good.
So, Scream Queens.
Yes.
I have to give a shout-out to Nick Jonas, too.
Seriously,
though?
He
was
though,
fucking great.
He's actually really good.
Episode. Yeah. Really funny,
and I didn't really know who the fuck he was, and I still am not super clear.
Yeah.
I like Earmuff Henchman.
Earmuff Henchwoman, she was
awesome.
Great. Chanel number whatever.
She's three.
Four? Three?
Four's dead.
Oh, yeah, four's dead.
Yeah, she's three.
Somehow I missed four dying. You guys were talking about
it.
She just mentioned it at the beginning.
Yeah, when they were explaining why there was Chanel 2, 3, and 5, she just, like, threw away comment what happened to 4, and that was it, basically.
4 got really sick, had meningitis, wanted to go home. I said no. She went home.
She died.
One more thing I was right about.
Fucking Emma Roberts.
She's such a bitch.
She did a really good job.
Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing. Like, it's one of those occasions where you love to hate someone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
that's hard to pull off. Because I feel like in a lot of, especially like modern horror and modern TV, like it's really easy to just like be, you know, really combative and really bitchy and like just come off as a piece of shit. But she makes this fun.
Yeah.
But her dad is Eric Roberts, who also is like good at doing the exact same thing.
Which is true, actually. That's a very
her dad's
true.
Eric Roberts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
and he does
God.
The same thing. He can play like these weird roles that make him fun. Like
That's true.
Yeah, I mean really when you think about it, like this show has like the security guards fucking fantastic.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's so funny.
Don't you go upstairs?
Why you got a knife coming
out? That's where the killers come from. You go downstairs and you go out that back door. I love that. That was so funny.
I mean, a lot of the probably all of the characters are written as these blatant stereotypes.
Oh, yeah.
But as this, like, really snarky commentary about stereotypes,
yeah.
It's really good. It's really fun to see.
It was fun. It was a great
It's irreverent as shit.
Yeah, I've got to give it 8 out of 8.
Yeah, I would too.
Like, I'm shocked at how much I enjoyed it.
I'll give it 8 out of 8.
Especially
it was fun. It was funny.
It was a comedy TV show.
Yeah.
Especially for as much violence as it has in it.
Oh my gosh, I loved all the violence.
I'm so squicked out. Like, I was genuinely disturbed.
The one scene that comes fairly early in it was pretty intense.
I feel like two of the scenes are fairly intense.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's true.
So.
But yeah, good stuff. I really enjoy it. You can watch it on Hulu. I think that's the only place you can stream it right now. I would guess it's probably available to purchase on, like, Amazon and that kind of thing by episode.
I can't afford a Hulu's, but if this is on DVD, I might pick up the set, because I would like to see the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Deeply Dapper Dispatches podcasts are all brought to you by Deeply Dapper, of course. Whether you're looking for geeky decor, strange and unusual nerdy soap, or a piece of fine art for your walls, Deeply Dapper is your answer. Everything we make is handmade by my wife and I, and have been featured on sites like Wired, Reddit, Shut Up and Take My Money, BuzzFeed, and more. Give the gift of geek or class up your own home with deeplydapper.com. You can also find us on Etsy or one of our many Comic-Con stops around the Western United States. Deeply Dapper, better living through tentacles. Now, back to the show.
That was, and then we watched on the CW app with our Prime screaming.
If you put CW app together, you get quack.
Quack.
I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, and I downloaded the CW app exclusively so that we could watch this tonight, but I'll probably watch some Supergirl now because Melissa Benoist is fucking adorable.
I think it's Benoist, but okay.
I've heard it pronounced Benoist in an interview, but
really?
I don't know. Yeah.
It rhymes with moist.
You rhyme with moist.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, I apologize, but...
Oh, me too, yeah, I don't know. Okay, well, it doesn't really matter. But it's on Netflix, too.
It is. Yeah.
The first season. If I could watch more of it, like, current seasons, I would consider the quap.
Wait, okay.
It is actually...
it should be on Hulu, because Arrow and stuff's on Hulu.
Let's see here. The American mauling of Supergirl's last name. She was often announced as Benoist.
Mm.
Actually, Melissa pronounces it Benoist.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if the traditional French is Benoit, all sorts of people introduced her as Benoist, but she pronounces it Benoist, it looks like. So,
okay, all right.
At least according to this website, anyway. Yeah.
I want a hat that has, like, a star with some streamers, and I can, like, press a button on the side, and it does the more you know, and the star moves from one side to the other. The more you know. I want this hat. Yes, because it comes up often enough, I want to just, like, have this on my person so I can go, the more you know.
I would rather go the G.I. Joe route and do that. Knowing
is half
the
battle.
The
other half is lasers.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So,
hey, that storm knocked down that power line. Let's jump over it in our bikes.
That's usual
roadblock.
Things back in the 80s.
Hey, you kids, you don't go...
You're not rhyming enough for roadblock.
I know, it's
you,
true.
You should have picked a different Joe.
No, but that is actually his skit.
That's true.
Is the one jumping over, but I don't remember what he says. Cobra's through now. What are we gonna do?
Body massage.
So we watched Riverdale.
Though by far the creepiest ones are the kids that are, like, swimming in the ocean, and also Deep Six comes out of the ground.
Yes.
Out of the water, like, hey, I've been watching you kids swim.
You're unsafe.
You need a life jacket.
You can get sucked down at any minute.
That's
Deep Six!
That's right.
I'll show you a deep... Oh.
Riverdale.
Oh, Riverdale.
So
Ben hated it, I think.
We're going to have a completely different opinion on this one,
I think.
So this is our review of Riverdale, a.k.a. Teen Peaks.
Teen Peaks. Oh, my God. Did you
You've been holding on to that. He's been holding on to that one.
Oh, dude. Can I clink a glass at you or something?
I'm going to clink my water bottle at you.
I really wanted to like this, but it's so fucking weird and shambly and disjointed.
It's the pilot. They're introducing a lot of things.
So was Scream Queens.
Scream Queens had an hour and 42 minutes to
That's
do it.
That's true. It also had good actors.
Oh, good God, though. But how long did the Riverdale finale actually, like,
it
the pilot
felt
actually
like it was felt longer.
Like, it felt
yeah.
so
it
much
did.
Longer.
Yeah, okay, I can't even argue that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to compare it to Scream Queens, because Scream Queens was great.
It was excellent, yeah.
I did not expect Riverdale to be great, so, yeah.
I wanted it
there
to
There was
be.
Nothing to be disappointed
it's,
about.
It's got Matt Janamek, it's got Luke Perry. I loved Luke Perry in it.
He was in it for like 2 minutes the entire
I know,
episode.
But I really loved him.
The only thing you know about him is he does concrete.
And he's got those soulful eyes.
Well, and he, and he loves his son.
Yeah.
I think it would have been better if they'd actually cast him as one of, like, as Reggie. Or something like that.
Just
be like, he's like
teen.
Passing out as the teen. Like, I can still do it.
I can still be a teen.
I can still pass as a teenager.
I think here's one other thing, too, is that I've never read a single Archie comic in my entire fucking life. I have no idea who the fuck these characters are or what they're supposed to be about.
See, that's an interesting way to come from this, actually.
It is, but I also don't think it's because... I don't think my opinion is formed because of, like, having read one.
No, I think it actually... this is such a weird program for them to have made this way, because, like, I mean, like, I don't even know... if they're still sold on, like, newsstands and stuff. I know they still
do
Archie comics, but I don't know if they still do, like, the old-school digests and stuff.
I saw one in Fremar, like, the other week.
No shit.
Yeah,
is there
going to
be a crossover with
it
Casper, because isn't that the same company that makes it?
It is, technically, yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean the rights lay with
yeah.
the same people. It's like Sony and Finn Fox and
Casper.
Marvel.
Yeah. And I mean, this one does have Josie and the Pussycats in it.
Which I think is great.
They weren't in it enough, in my
opinion.
No,
they were not.
Bring some Chapter Jaws in.
So let's say, let's go through the characters here.
Yeah.
We've got Archie. He fucking sucks.
Archie does fucking suck.
He's
and for being the flagship character of a show.
Yeah.
And,
Mr. Grundy should have been Cloris Leachman.
Jesus
Christ. Just throw out that. Just throw that out there.
I mean, I really like Cloris Leachman.
It would have been funny. It would have been great.
Okay.
She's more age-appropriate. In the comics, Miss Grundy is, like, in her 60s.
She is, like...
Does her
hair
sex
with
she
her?
Looks like olive oil. No.
Archie doesn't have sex with anybody.
It's a wholesome comic.
It's like
well, I don't
dolls.
Fucking know.
No, it's like a comic for, like, 9 and 10-year-old kids.
Oh, my God. Cloris Leachman would have been so funny in that role.
She would have been perfect
so
in that role.
Funny. It
would yeah.
be so great.
And, like Mr. Weatherby, the principal, wasn't even in this, which surprised me.
Oh,
I assumed
I
he would.
Totally forgot about him. Midge wasn't either.
Midge, yeah, they didn't have Midge, who was Moose's girlfriend.
Moose is homosexual.
Yeah, Moose's girlfriend, Midge, wasn't in it, because Moose apparently is getting it on with
Kevin,
who
but,
I don't think exists in the comics.
But Moose is a giant closet case, so it's totally understandable that he might have a girlfriend.
Midge could be the beard, that's true.
Yep.
So Betty has a stereotypical gay best friend who... was probably the best one in the show, honestly.
My
I really liked
character
him.
At this point, yeah.
He was the best actor. He had the most charisma.
I don't know if he was the best actor.
Well...
but he was fun. And
he was.
He lived in the role.
He had the best
yeah.
lines.
He had the best
he
lines.
He
did
have
the
best
true.
Lines. But he's gay. Of course he did.
True. So there's a murder
We're
mystery.
All about stereotypes in this.
Right. And that's really the thing here, is that... it was all stereotypes done with a broad stroke, but so
right.
much more ham-handedly.
So, and so, like, everything done in Scream Queens was also broad stroke stereotypes, but firmly tongue-in-cheek, and
yes.
firmly understanding that this is a stereotype, we're gonna lampoon the shit out of it
we're
because we're tired of the stereotypes. Yeah. And whereas, like, right now, Riverdale feels like it's just sliding into those comfortable zones, like, right down to Archie's argument with Dad about, like, well, you expect this future for me, and
you expect me to pour concrete,
you want me
which
to
is so tired.
And they want me to play football, but
what?
I
varsity
want
football. God.
I want
cause,
music
because you know, there's like every kid athlete in high school athlete's worst nightmare is to be actually considered for the varsity team.
Right?
It's like what varsity?
This
oh can, man,
this is a conflict between what my father wants
what?
For me and my. Extracurricular music activities.
I'll have to leave the shithole of a town and go to other places more often.
Yeah.
I can't fuck my overage teacher anymore.
It is. The difference between watching Scream Queens and It, like, at the same time was Scream Queens, even the bad characters were fun and likable.
Yeah.
I didn't like a single character in Rivendell. Not a single character.
You didn't like Kevin?
Kevin was alright.
Kevin was alright, but he was kind of token. I mean, he literally was just words of wisdom.
No, he's absolutely...
You guys have totally, like, latched onto that. What was it that the girl said? Like, a gay best friend that's so, like, last year or whatever.
Yeah.
Because apparently gays can't have best friends.
It's not about gays not having best friends. It's about, like, the entirety of the 90s and early 2000s having movies about women with the gay best friend. That's all that the gay character can ever be, is the best friend to the lady.
Or he ends up not being gay and secretly having a crush on the girl.
He should have a best friend, though. Everybody needs a best friend.
I don't think so. I can't remember. I haven't seen
Clueless. She liked the Jason Priestley.
But, I mean, super fucking token gay best friend character.
Yeah, yeah.
No, well, she actually had a crush on him in that
one. But he was still token gay best friend.
Yeah.
I don't know. That one doesn't quite work.
It was executed way better.
Because
I don't remember liking Clueless, so...
She actually had a crush on him, and then finds out that he's gay, and then she ends up falling for her stepbrother.
Oh, yeah.
That's how that goes.
Right, okay,
who is Paul Rudd? So...
Yeah, who wouldn't?
All right, My Best Friend's Wedding, then, is, like...
Okay, but Rupert Everett in My Best Friend's Wedding is...
Wow, I didn't even have to explain that.
Incredibly. The dude's charming. I don't know.
And actually gay. Applaud for hiring a gay person to play a gay person. But...
So yeah, I...
The last scene when he calls her on the phone?
I don't remember. I hated the shit out of it. If I'm going to watch a Rupert Everett movie, it's going to be Cemetery Man, so...
So what did you guys think of Veronica?
I like that she had an arc.
She was hot.
She
But
she
they didn't
hot.
Just make her a rich bitch.
Right,
they did
exactly.
Actually
yeah.
Make
her
something
yeah, she has
else.
An arc. Like,
bad.
Her character evolves. Yeah. It's deeper than just...
I feel like she's the most rounded character on the show, even
Which
though I
weird.
Don't like her as well as Betty, but Betty's so one-note.
Which is funny, because in the comics and stuff like that, Betty was the one that was more like the
always
girl next
liked
door.
Betty better. Yeah. She's always been
they
so much more
they
grounded.
Didn't play the girl next door well in this at all.
No, Betty's always been kind of the lower income, simpler, kind of almost farm girl.
She was
a
Mary
Jane. Yeah.
And here she feels very, like, middle class.
Absolutely.
So Veronica is upper
there's
class.
Also, there's also
curve,
the strange storyline that they just kind of hold over your head of like, oh, what did they do to your sister?
Yeah, like,
you know, and it's like I don't know what did they do to their sister. You keep talking about this chick, but nobody knows what actually happened.
Well,
it
sounds like she had some sort of relationship with the dead boy, and then like Alice,
not like necrophilia. People.
No, no, that wasn't great. And then Alice, Polly's mom and Betty's mom apparently drove Polly. Kind
of
crazy
out of town
over
or
it.
Something. I don't know.
A drink? I mean, that's the problem. We don't know what they drove her.
Well, that's not really a problem.
For all we know, they drove her to the gas station. I mean, it's like we don't know what actually happened to this character.
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
they keep bringing up this, like, oh, remember? It's like a cautionary tale that people have. It's like, oh, you remember what they did to Polly. And everybody's like, oh, God, yes, Polly.
Well, I mean,
and you're just like,
yeah.
Who the fuck is Polly?
But they're introducing these things that they will get
it's
back to
season.
Later.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll come up at
I
some
still
point.
Feel like it's a weird thing to do in your first season, though, is to constantly keep, like, driving this, like, one character down your throat, and you're like, well, who the hell is Polly? Did Polly want a cracker?
Yeah, they...
Well, it sounds like she did get a cracker, and that's
she did.
What
it was a white
she wanted
ginger.
Some water to put out the
blowtorch.
She had
a ginger cracker.
She had a gingerbread cracker. And then the gingerbread cracker apparently got killed.
Under suspicious circumstances.
Got crumbled.
Spoilers, it came out like yesterday.
Yeah, there's going to be spoilers for this.
I don't know if that's a spoiler when it's within the first... I mean, we're not telling why he died or
kind
how he
of
died.
A spoiler
it's
if
literally
you haven't
plot.
Seen it.
It's like the first 2 minutes of the thing. They talk about, like, them going out in the canoe
He's
together.
He's dead, but, like, you don't understand
surrounded
how he
a
died.
Why
don't
say how he died? Kilt is not anything.
It's a lot more information.
He could be trampled by elephants.
Whatever.
He could be shot.
Yes, he got trampled by elephants. The theme is actually doo 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 doo.
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past this.
I wouldn't either. Is anybody going to actually follow this? Keep watching?
I would like to see more of it before I pass a broad judgment on it.
I'd watch at least a couple more episodes.
Yeah, I
just
think there's some promise.
I feel like it could either go interesting character drama and mystery, or it could just go fucking soap opera.
I disagree. I think you need to hook people in the first episode, and I think that's like the main thing. If the first episode isn't good enough to hook it, I don't watch a bad episode and be like, well, I need to see how if they can actually turn this around and make it good.
See, now the
like you
the
make
problem,
it good the first right.
The problem
off
the bat. For me though is that the second episode is usually the tell. Because the first episode, they either push it too quick, or they overwrite it, and that's where it gets, like, rough. Or they have plenty of time, they can do it exactly how they want, they have a bigger budget, they can go longer on it, and so it can be really good. But, like,
or
like
they're
producing
watching, the pilot, and they're
right.
not sure if it's going to go anywhere. Yeah,
they might
like,
not even
they,
have the same actors
things,
back.
Things do, in fact, change from pilot to...
They don't know how long...
That's fair.
The season's going to go until they get picked up, and so maybe the writing's a little off, and now they know what the pacing is, and they can write it out.
Right. Like, who knows? Maybe in Scream Queens we won't see this much blood ever.
See, that's what I'm wondering. Like,
I don't know how you could. They killed half the cast.
No shit.
They didn't kill half the cast, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot
there's
of
a lot of dead people, yeah. And, you know, like I've been watching The Expanse on Sci-Fi, and the first episode is fucking great. It's really suspenseful, it's paced beautifully, it's got a little bit of like that Blade Runner noir, it's got hard sci-fi stuff in it, and the second and third episodes were fucking slob.
See, and I actually,
that's so bad, though,
that's the way it should be. Not that they should be slogs, I'm not saying that you should go bad after your first episode, but your first episode should be so good that it hooks you.
Theoretically.
I'm willing to watch a few bad episodes because I have so much faith in the potential of this show.
You know, shoulda, woulda, coulda, but I mean, you watched the pilot of Star Trek The Next Generation,
oh my
which
God,
is one of my
is.
All-time favorite series of all. Like, ever. Ever.
So
I love
bad.
It so much, you have no fucking idea. Encounter at Farpoint is a giant pile of shit. I find it nigh unwatchable.
It's bad.
Yeah.
But you find that now, but when you were a kid, like, I still liked it when I was a kid. I thought that episode was good when I was a kid.
I remember being really confused because I thought Riker was just Kirk with a beard, and I was like, why are you the captain?
He didn't have a beard that episode.
Oh, yeah, he didn't have a beard. You're
right.
So I just thought he was Kirk. And I was
okay
confused.
With that. Riker's always been my favorite character on that
yeah.
show.
That's amazing. So what would you guys rate it?
I will not watch this show probably ever. Unless you guys happen to watch it again while I happen to be here, I won't go home and continue watching this show.
I'm going to give it a 2 out of 8.
I'll give it a 2 as well. Just because 1 seems incredibly harsh because it wasn't like it was so good.
Yeah, it wasn't
awful.
Unwatchable, but it wasn't enjoyable.
I didn't hate it, but I won't continue the series.
And like even Madchen Amick, who I love, I didn't like her character in this.
She's good in it, and she performs the character well.
Mm-hmm. For what little she's on the TV.
Yeah.
But
again, she's like Luke Perry. She's only on it for like 4 minutes,
yeah.
The entire episode.
Yeah, I hope she's on it a lot more. I mean, it seems like she would be, because she's making a lot of Snapchat posts about it, so.
Hey, you're cute.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping the second episode is better, but I'm giving it a 2.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't love this. There wasn't anything that like really caught me, and I was really saddened by the fact that like this got sold to me as horny Twin Peaks when the Twin Peaks aspects of it were...
There's not much.
They were really superficial.
It's almost entirely environmental.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have pictures and scenes that like make you
and
think
And, you know, honestly, the
be,
setting,
but...
I really like the setting.
Yeah.
Like all of the outdoor shots, Pop's soda shop looked really good. All of the houses in it were, like, fit what my image of the houses were.
It's a world that I would totally like to spend some more time in, but I
the characters
don't,
aren't
I,
fun.
Yeah, right
yeah.
now, I just don't care about any of these characters.
Yeah.
And because I have never read Archie, like, there's not even a nostalgia factor right. for me at all.
The
like,
characters aren't even familiar enough in having read it that,
yeah.
that it entices you to
yeah, it's
be.
Literally just like they took these guys' names and attached them to the characters in this. It's
yeah.
not like they're like, oh, well, we want to make sure Moose is Moose in this.
How can you even like say that you have a characterization of any of these characters when you didn't even see Jughead eat a hamburger
right.
the entire freaking
well, he
show?
Right. Saw him at a hamburger joint.
He was at a hamburger joint, but they were always at the hamburger joint. But like Jughead was like in the yeah, he was always eating like hamburgers and
he is driven shit. Exclusively.
He's basically
by food.
The Shaggy
so
of this
wimpy.
Series.
He's wimpy or Shaggy, yeah, absolutely.
He's the stoner. The veiled stoner character.
He absolutely is.
Huh.
And the
so
although
to
I
make
have
the
to
sense
say, like
journalist is weird.
Like visually though, I really like the way they did
his
crown.
Hat looks great
because he always used to wear a crown
mm-hmm.
as a
which
character
such
in the
a
comic.
Bizarre.
And yeah, it was a weird affectation, but I like the way they realized that with the knit hat with the crown brim on it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my favorite character in terms of looks. But he was totally off character in terms of
and he was hardly in it.
Right.
Like they made him they regulated him to narrator character. He could have been a ghost until the very end.
And it annoyed the shit out of me that he talked about how Archie was his good friend, but he didn't have a single conversation with Archie until the very
well,
last of the episode.
I think it was like super obvious that like there had been some falling out, or at least Jughead was pissed off that Archie had gone.
Yeah.
That he'd gotten abs.
Yeah, you came back hot.
I think my major concern with how this show might go is that it's going to go the Teen Wolf route.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I haven't seen Teen Wolf, but that's largely because it looks awful. And it's one of those, you know, dudes, abs, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, fake, pensive feelings. Like
dramatic guitar strumming.
Yeah. Like I don't want this to go this route.
I agree.
But it could very easily. I think it could also go the other way, and that'd be great, but it doesn't look like it's going through.
I think we'll genuinely know by the end of the
second
episode. Yeah.
So I will watch the second episode.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll give the second episode of both of them a shot. Hopefully Scream Queens, even if it's
I feel like I'm
gonna
watch the rest of Scream Queens.
I feel
like I don't even care. Like
yeah.
I just want to see the rest of that.
Yeah. I even if it's half as good for the second episode,
it's still
better
than most of the things on TV, so.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will give Riverdale one more episode. And even that might be a hard thing.
I'm hoping it's not a chore, but it might be.
Yeah. I guess that's it for the reviews. Do you guys have any picks of the pod this week?
Pick of the pod. What's your pick of the pod? Your pen. That's awesome.
Devin, you're picking your pen.
I'm picking my pen.
Apparently.
So
both of us are going to force you to pick
yeah,
a pen.
So I got a pen.
Yeah, so I ordered...
It's colorful.
I ordered a bunch of...
It's not.
All of my long underwear is falling apart because we live in winter wasteland. And
this is not where I thought this was going to go, by the way. When you talked about a pen, I did not realize it was going to go to underwear.
There's an is at the end of the pen.
Oh, God. I feel somewhat duped into this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because you literally did not mention that it was going to go to an underwear topic.
Everything comes to
anyway,
underwear eventually.
I guess worn out underwear.
Yes, everything comes in underwear eventually. Change of preposition. Yeah, anyway, so I bought a bunch of new long underwear and socks and stuff. And, like, the total came to, you know, like 47 bucks. And I was like, God, this sucks. I hate buying underwear. This is so dumb. I hate getting mail that's dumb.
I'm getting adult mail.
I hate getting adult
yeah.
mail. I hate being responsible. And so I was like, all right. It's 47 bucks. I'm going to find a $3 thing that I want.
Nice.
That is going to make this worth it to me. And so I went to Art Supplies. And there's a Kuretake brush pen, the Fude. It ends with a lot of Japanese words.
Right.
But I think a lot of people just refer to it as the Fude pen. And so I ordered one.
Fude.
Because it was like ships free as an add-on.
Ah,
and
yeah.
it's, you know, $3 for shipping, whatever. So I picked it up, because all I have is the Pentel pocket brush, and mm-hmm. I've had issues with that because I don't have a whole lot of brush control, because it's, you know, real bristles and whatever.
And the Pentel pocket brush is really nice. It's fun to use.
Super nice.
But
it is refillable.
The ink distribution is not always consistent.
Oh, really? I've never had a problem
with that. I've had issues where it will sometimes put more down than it did the previous stroke, or sometimes it'll come off a little dry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird. I've even tried swapping out my cartridge, and so maybe it's just my brush.
I have really, really
never
had
a brush, that problem. How does a brush pen work?
Oh, they're amazing. I'll show you one after the show. It's really cool.
They're great. So, but the Fude has a felt nib mm-hmm. instead of the brush. The Pentel pocket brush has actual bristles.
Yeah. So you're talking about legitimate, like, brushes,
like a,
on
yeah,
a
like
pen.
A paint brush.
So you're like painting, but there's a cartridge
the
that
yeah.
like, puts
comes
ink
down.
Out.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly.
It's really neat.
So, but I've always had a problem with the pocket brush because I'm shit at inking. I'm awful. I just don't have the control. I don't have the practice.
You know, sometimes the more mechanical felt tip brush pen inking is more pleasurable in some ways, I think.
Yeah, like, I snubbed my nose at it because, felt tip, but holy crap. So I get this pen, right? And just the amount of control I have between thick and thin
That's
strokes
cool.
is insane. It doesn't have quite the variation, mm-hmm. and of course you can't get the same effects as, like, real bristles, but, like, just inking some small sketches that I've done, like, going thick to thin, has been a real pleasure, and I've really gotten the lines that I saw in my head.
Well, see, and I think that's cool because I didn't grow up doing that. I grew up just using fucking ballpoint pens.
Right. Like everybody else, yeah.
But once I started, like, buying my own pens, everyone would always tell me, oh, you need to buy those, like, total technical drafting pens. I can't remember the name of
them. The Rapidographs?
Yeah, the Rapidographs. And so
you
that's what
that.
I bought initially. And, like, they give you a single pen length, single pen width. You have to hold them directly straight up, right? And
ish.
And I got so used to that where I'm like, oh, well, I did the tiny line for this, but now I have to get the thicker line and go in here and do this.
Right.
Then I have to get the really thick line to black it in. And that's like, even with the microns, it's kind of how I use those sometimes because they have a really firm felt tip to them.
Yeah, you don't get a whole lot of line.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy listening to you guys talk about, like, pens, because I remember what it was like the very first time you, like, because you used ballpoint pens, like, your entire life. The
yeah.
first time you ran across a felt tip pen, it was like,
well,
it's like
crazy,
bleeding
like,
through the paper, and you're like,
well,
what
back
is
in
this?
The day, especially, like you didn't get a lot of felt tip pens, or you
no.
got, like, fucking, like, Crayola markers or whatever that were felt
yeah.
tip.
Just garbage.
And nowadays, there's just, like, the sheer amount of different kinds of pens is just insane.
Oh, and the Kuretake, like, so the thing that I was practicing on when I first got it, like, just checking it out, was lined notebook paper, no bleeding.
Really?
Really.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I didn't do any, like, heavy fills, so I don't know about streaking or consistency of ink. But
see, and
just lining.
Dry time is really
great.
My big thing because the Pentel brush pen stays wet for
forever.
So fucking long, especially on the smooth
especially
bristle.
Especially on the bristle, yep.
Oh my
yeah.
god.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that thing piece I was doing for the book, fucking smeared constantly because I would forget that I'd laid down that thick black and then go to do MacReady and put my dip my hand into somebody else. And
I think, like, left-handed inkers probably have it rough.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah, yeah, it would be. I mean, I guess you'd start from the other
bottom
side
and go up,
yeah.
up and left rather than start
top
up,
and, down,
up and left.
But
and go
it'd still be hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your hand is obscuring so much of your work.
Right.
Depending on how you work, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I feel the same way with football. Like, for some strange reason, football quarterbacks that are left-handed, it makes no sense. You think that, like, it's just a different hand, they face a different direction, but for some reason they always seem to turn their back, like, so much more that they blind spot half the field. And it doesn't make any sense as to why that's the case, but it seems to be the
case.
And it's the same, like, how you mentioned with the obscuring your work and stuff, like, left-handed, it doesn't make sense that, like, just changing you seem like your hand had covered the same amount, but...
Oh, that was when we went to... when Tom and I went to that baseball game in San Francisco. I'd never... Like, I hadn't watched live baseball in fucking years. And it was crazy to watch the difference in the way the left-handers versus the right-handers played the game, both, like, out on the field and, like, throwing the ball, the pitches. Because, like, in your head, you're like, okay, they're aiming for this tiny area that they're supposed to get the ball into. It shouldn't make a difference if they're throwing with their right hand or their left hand when they're pitching. But, I mean, it was radically different. It was bizarre.
Well, I mean, in that case, like, people are standing a certain way, so, like, everything's set up for a right-hander, right? Like,
right.
Everything is on that side.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of bizarre. I was like, man, it's actually kind of beneficial to learn how to use your left hand playing that game.
It's weird because you don't even think about the changes and stuff. Like at the time, in like the 60s and 70s, they didn't make left-handed guitars.
Right.
And so you didn't even think Jimi Hendrix played his upside down.
It's so weird.
But you don't even think about that. Yeah. It's so weird. You just think, well, it's just a different hand.
And
it's
he
like,
played
yeah,
it better
than different. So,
yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
So what's your pick then?
So my pick of the pot is I just barely got a PlayStation 4, one of the new, my first next gen system, I guess. Or I guess now that it's the current gen because it's been out for a year or so.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say, like, I got two different games, I guess, that I'm excited for that are coming out.
Okay.
Mass Effect Andromeda. I think that's great. I have no idea where they're going to go or how they're going to make this work, but it's going to be spectacular regardless.
They're going to go to the Andromeda system.
They are
exactly
but...
where they're going to go.
So does it take place after the previous games?
Yes.
That's what I didn't know. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So I didn't know how, like, and everybody, because everybody's got their own story. I don't know exactly, but it's going to be great. It'll be fun.
I feel like the smart way to go would be to have you start with an entirely new character.
Well, you will. You absolutely will.
You do, and it's in an entirely different galaxy.
Right.
I have no idea what any of this means. I've never played the game, but I've heard people are very passionate about it.
Have you heard? People are passionate. I don't know where you would get the idea that there are passionate fans about this series.
It's possible that there may have been an edit somewhere earlier in this episode where Ben and Devin were talking about this game. That
blood
I learned,
may have been drawn. Devin punched me in the face.
There was some wrestling.
I've never punched anyone.
Everybody got bareback, but you both left your... I like both of your boots, by the way. I noticed today...
Yours are so shiny. I noticed yours, right off.
I love his boots.
They're like... They're docks, obviously.
It looks like
you've
angrily kicked something with your one
foot. I'm assuming that they're normal docks, but you've polished them with a certain kind of polish.
No, they're vinyl.
Oh.
You actually just...
Because the new docks are interesting.
They look
I've got a new
good,
pair
though.
And they're completely different. Yeah, they look spectacular.
They look like he's like bathed
minor
in the blood
Clarks,
of
they are not
many
vegan.
Being cherries. I like the tops on your
mine
boots.
Mine are the other British company.
Right.
The other British boot company.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Clarks. I've never owned any.
Like, pull the hem up. I like the tops of the boot, actually. I think they look kind of cool. It's kind of different looking.
I've got a zip, though. That's cheating.
Yes. Clark's boots are fantastic. Docks are great. So, British boots, you can't go wrong, whichever company you choose.
Pretty sure both of them are actually, like, assembled in Mexico.
Clark's are not anymore. Like, Clark's are... That's one of their big selling points is they're still very British. They haven't sold
right
to a different company.
I'm currently wearing a pair of Asics that has a hole in the top where you can see my toe.
Which Asics are very comfortable as well. But the other one is Ghost Recon Wildlands. This game looks spectacular. If you've ever played... If anybody's ever happened to play, like, the old LucasArts game, Mercenaries...
Not that one.
It's
was
kind
that,
of...
Was that one of their, like, shooter games?
Yeah, it's a shooter game.
Okay.
But it was like, they gave you kind of an open world and gave you, like, certain targets, but it was up to you to decide how you wanted to seek out these targets. It was, at the time, it was, like, crazy. Nobody did that kind of... Like, they never gave you that kind of freedom to design your own game, like, levels, basically. Wildlands is supposed to be even bigger than that. It's supposed to be, basically, Bolivia. You're in the whole country of Bolivia. And you have freedom. You get given a target. You can choose how you want to go about getting that target. If you want to hijack an airplane. I mean, it looks amazing.
Crazy.
It's co-op.
It's not actually a LucasArts game because Disney destroyed them. Yeah.
Right, right, exactly. It's not LucasArts. It's actually Tom Clancy. So it's
I was thinking Ghost Recon is like a
Tom Clancy games.
Yeah,
but it's what I meant when I compared it to Mercenaries is it's that like you have targets and it's a free open area and you choose how you want to go about getting your targets.
Okay.
It looks amazing.
Kind of like
Hitman. Yeah.
Okay.
But bigger. Broader.
Right, right, sure.
Like you have a much larger area to choose how you want to go about it.
Hmm.
So I think those are going to be both... They could be terrible games, I don't know. Games always look good. Fable taught me that like games look fantastic in production, but you never know what you're actually going to end up getting.
The first Fable's great.
The first Fable was great if you hadn't been following it all through its like production.
And like
I did hear that that was like...
If you followed its production, you only saw all the things that they cut out of the game.
That's like No Man's Sky, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Too, where they promote the shit out of stuff that
deliver.
They found out later. That like,
which I'm going to say this right now. I do have No Man's Sky, and And if you have a small child, it is a fantastic game to play because it's very colorful. and
which was like the first thing I hated about
infants
it.
Love watching the very colorful game.
That's funny. I guess that's good.
But it is not what they promised. I still think it's a fun game. But it's like it's a game you play in between playing other games. Like I'm tired of playing this game, so I'm just gonna go and find
a sweet season. So Man's Sky is a palate cleanser.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pickle. it's pickle ginger.
It's the Neapolitan ice cream, or it's the sorbet.
Right. It really is, and it's totally fair.
It's that
because
color.
It is. You play it, and it's like okay, this is fun for a while. But after, if you play it for too long, you realize you're just wandering around a planet looking for one species of animal. For like 2 hours.
That's kind
of
how I play Skyrim. Like right now, my sword fighting skills are like 55, but my alchemy is at like 100 because I just wander around catching butterflies in this bulky armor and shit. I play it the way Devin hates playing things.
I had a wood elf named Moriarty that I played in that game, and my skill sets that I actually went into were alchemy. Pickpocketing and illusion.
okay.
Which made for some very fun assassinations in the Brotherhood of thing. Because, like, there's... I don't know if I... Spoiler alert to anybody that's, like, hasn't played this game, but I don't know why you wouldn't at this point.
Right.
There's a wedding, and if you're in the Dark Brotherhood, you have to assassinate a person in the wedding. The route that I went with Moriarty is I have no combat skills whatsoever. Like, none. But I have an enrage spell, and so basically I enrage the bride to punch the groom who immediately murdered his own wife on her wedding day.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I just strolled out of town with an assault charge.
That's hilarious.
That's wicked.
That's awesome.
So it was fun for that aspect, however, I couldn't fight a dragon if my life depended on it.
See, and I'm playing it, I can't do magic for shit. Like, I tried playing magic and I can't do anything. So, like, I've been playing, I'm a big bruiser guy. He looks like Mr. T. And like I shoot everything with arrows, actually. I really enjoy the arrow aspect of it because I just have tons of shitty arrows and I just keep shooting them. I'll stand up on the very top of a mountain and just shoot the shit out of the castle.
In the game, do you also look like a Muppet doing that? Because that's, yeah.
What's funny about that is in Morrowind, in Elder Scrolls 3?
3?
4. Morrowind's
no,
4.
No, because Oblivion was 4.
Oh, yeah, that is,
right.
Yeah.
So okay. In Morrowind 3, in Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind, there was actually, like, a set number of arrows in the entire, like, thing. You could potentially run out of arrows on that island.
Weird.
They didn't have crafting, and they had everything was finite. You could literally run out of things, and you could. But what was crazy is you could drop anything anywhere. It was insane. Like I probably had gold stashes like all over the place. I'd randomly wander back into a cave and find like a massive amount of money that I had just stashed in a chest in that
That's
cave
awesome.
At some point earlier in the game.
Huh. I've never played any of them, but Skyrim, that's the first one I've played, and, like, I've heard the other ones are really fun. Like,
They're fun.
I was tempted to pick up Oblivion just to check it out, but, like, I still haven't finished New Vegas, and I've just started playing this game, and, like, my major goal in this game was to get in good enough with one of the Jarls so that I could build a house just so that I could put up the library tower, because I've always wanted a tower library. So now my main goal is to wander around and steal as many books as I can so I can fill it.
I honestly don't think that Oblivion would hold up for you.
Yeah.
Because, like, so I had a roommate who was playing Oblivion all the fucking time when it was new.
Uh-huh.
The graphics looked like shit then.
Oh, really?
I thought that the scenery looked amazing. The people looked like the people did.
Yeah.
Morrowind was the same way. Like for that time period, the sceneries and the gigantic mushrooms were amazing. Which is spectacular for me. But they were amazing, but the people look so ugly. They're so mad, and
at that point you had to sacrifice something.
It was funny because
you have so much open world, that's a lot of memory.
To completely be fair, I have not played the updated version of Skyrim.
I've heard it's really good, but the people.
However, exactly,
yeah.
It's the thing. They updated all of the graphics of the people, and now the people are. But they didn't upgrade the people, so they look the same.
Yeah, like
so
the landscapes.
You're once
amazing.
Again in that exact same scenario where you have beautiful graphics and ugly people.
Why isn't everybody playing The Witcher 3? Because everything's beautiful in that game.
That's what I've seen.
You know,
that,
I
want
to play that game so bad, but I can't figure out how to keep a 12-year-old from playing it also, and I'm not sure that that's appropriate.
That's a fair concern.
Chris will attest that every time I see boobs,
there
I send
some boobs.
In screenshots.
There are some boobs in The Witcher.
So that's my whole dilemma with
could,
that game.
You know what you
I
could
do want to play
your
that
child
that
has
badly.
Seen plenty of boobs at this point.
You could just keep your PlayStation 4 over here and you can come over and play it occasionally. Yeah, I can understand that concern. I don't understand is in games like that, why they don't just make them more stylized. So that they don't look ugly. Instead of trying to make them look realistic, go the animated LucasArts style kind of thing. Like, I would play the shit out of an open world Monkey Island game
or
something
like
that.
Baker?
Yeah, honestly. The new Zelda game looks fucking amazing for that.
Wind Waker's not the new one.
Oh, okay.
Wind Waker's the hella old one.
Waker's the one that people got all, like, up in arms about it being so controversial.
Is that the cute little spritey one?
The cel-shaded one. It's the most beautiful Zelda game that's ever come out. It's gorgeous.
I freaking loved Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time's a great game, but it looks like ass.
Does it? I haven't played it in years.
The new Zelda game looks amazing. The one for the Switch. I don't know what it's called.
It's open world.
It's open world. It takes place like way in the future, so it's not like directly connected. No, I don't think that's
Barbarella.
The case, but yeah, I hope Barbarella's in it. I'd be okay with that.
If there was a Barbarella game, I might actually buy a Nintendo system again.
Do you actually think Barbarella would be on the Nintendo?
No, exactly. And that's why Nintendo gets no more of my money ever again. So,
right.
No offense. Like, it's great that they found their niche in family.
I think they're sliding away from that now with the new system.
Are they?
Some of the games I saw listed were... Are ports over from some of the other systems that
they
are less kid-friendly.
They did always try to take the Resident Evils. They have tried to take Resident Evil.
Yeah, no, like the first time that they revamped the Resident Evil, redid all the graphics, that was for the GameCube, and it's beautiful and well done. And actually, the GameCube had a lot of really good horror games.
Yes.
It's the only reason I still have one. But, even the Wii had a Wii-exclusive Dead Space game that sucked because it was on rails. Like, Nintendo is just not very good at it when they try.
I can see that.
So, like, I mean, God bless them for trying it all, but they don't have the number of horror games that would interest me, and the horror games that they do aren't well done.
Yeah, I get that.
But they have Harvest Moon.
And I don't care.
What's weird to me is there's this new game. It's like, I don't remember what it's called, but it's getting a lot of press and a lot of things. And it's basically an uglier Harvest Moon. I can't figure out what the deal is.
It's weird.
It's a farming game, but the graphics are terrible.
Oh, is it
that
fucking Farm Life game that they've got coming
out? No, that's like, well, it's not called Farm Life, but it is. It's just like Star something or other, I think.
Yeah, Lindsay has that.
Stardew Valley.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually... pretty cool.
It looks hideous.
Yeah,
in comparison to the old.
Really good things about Stardew Valley.
Lindsay has it. She hasn't played a lot of it. But yeah, the graphics aren't real super great, but the story is a lot more like the classic Harvest Moon stuff that they used to have.
The PlayStation Harvest Moon was amazing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, which one was that? Was that just the first one, Harvest Moon?
No,
2 or something like that.
No, Harvest Moon was on the Super Nintendo originally.
Is
it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't until I think the DS that Nintendo picked it up and it became this big handheld thing. That's like,
yeah, the handheld
huge.
Did take off. They had it for the Nintendo 64, and that's when I was that's when I first played it. It was
yeah.
on the 64.
Nothing looked good on the 64. It didn't look good at the time. It doesn't look good now.
I always wanted to play the Indiana Jones one for the 64, and I've never had a chance to play.
That one was a stylized game, and so it looked pretty good, actually, because it was all cel-shaded stuff. And
for the 64?
Yeah, it was Infernal Machine, and I've never played it. I've never even seen it.
Done in a lot of the same style as the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo Star Wars games that they put out, where that shell-shaded style that was really cool-looking...
The Indiana Jones, I think you're thinking about the Indiana Adventures.
Am I thinking of the wrong one?
That was on the Super Nintendo, and that was a great game. But they came out with one that was more of a platformer. It was like Tomb Raider. It was a 3D version called the Infernal Machine, and I never played it.
Weird.
But I don't think
I remember that one.
And anybody that wants to play a good Indiana Jones game... The Emperor's Tomb is freaking awesome.
It is.
I don't care what anybody says. That game is so good. And we will never see a better Indiana Jones game because...
Was that one of the LucasArts PC ones?
Yeah.
Well, it had it on Xbox.
Okay.
It had the same engine as the Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which had an amazing combat engine.
Oh, I do remember the Inferno Machine. It looked like ass.
It looked terrible, but it was the first 3D platforming Indiana Jones.
I remember that.
3D games didn't look good until, like, I don't know, 2010.
I didn't care
how it looked, though, because it was the same time period as, like... The Ocarina of Time and the Castlevania one that was like 3D.
Yeah.
It was a completely different thing. And the idea of having an Indiana Jones game of that same thing.
Everybody
was
so in love with 3D at the time. It's like none of this looks good and it's hard to play.
I remember right. The Inferno Machine got a lot of praise at the time because it incorporated some Tomb Raider type action, but it was still very much a classic LucasArts adventure game in terms of like the puzzles and the humor
and the writing and stuff. But anyway, Emperor's Tomb, fantastic. That is amazing. I don't know if it's the best Indiana Jones game because I love Fate of Atlantis.
I was about to say Fate of Atlantis is really good.
Yeah, it really is.
But it's definitely of the more action version. It's great.
Yeah, I'd give you that.
You can shoot Nazis in the head while they're talking to their friends about riding crops.
Sold.
It's fantastic.
Riding crops.
we were playing the game and Disney was like playing it and I was like watching it play it and there's this point in time where there are these two Nazis sitting next to her and he's like, I got that new riding crop from Herr Mueller, and then Tim shot him in the head, like just as he said that, and he goes flying in through this table, and the guy next to him just like sits there for a second staring at his buddy's body. It's great. It's a great game. Play Fate of Atlantis. Play Fate of Atlantis too, but.
Yeah.
Emperor's Tomb is a really great game.
So I have a pick of the pod. It's hanging upstairs in the kitchen because I have nowhere else to put it.
Yeah, you do.
That thing is crazy.
I bought a Italian version Princess Bride poster that I thought was slightly larger than average movie poster size.
You thought it was 55 inches tall.
The long way, yeah. but apparently not everyone does short length, long length. Some people on the internet do long length, short length. And you should always look at both numbers, because instead of a 55-inch long poster, you might end up getting a 107-inch long poster that comes in and is 6.5 feet tall, but has all sorts of amazing details.
Holy God, it looks good.
I do not remember Barbarians
or
Princess Bride.
Or Dragon
it's
Birds.
It's Barbarian, it's Inigo Montoya.
See, I was wondering, that's what I figured too. It's a very buff Inigo Montoya.
No, like,
and
if you look
sword
at his face, you can tell it's Inigo Montoya.
Well, he's got the same color scheme.
He's just like got Conan the fucking Barbarian sword. It's amazing.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. And
arms. More detailed.
I'm sorry, man,
sword,
like, Ken,
which
but I never believe that you have like 36-inch arms.
Yeah. Your
pythons are not that big, my friend.
Amazing. Like, The Princess Bride is one of my favorite movies. And I've always wanted a Princess Bride poster to hang up in my movie room. But I don't like the posters for Princess Bride. They suck.
No.
Like, there's one horizontal one that's pretty cool.
Oh, is that the one with the cliff?
With the cliff of the Cliffs of Insanity and,
sure,
like, Fezzik holding up the logo, and it looks pretty cool. But when you drill down into the details of it, the art's terrible.
Which is strange to me, because, like, if I had your artistic ability, I would never buy. I'd be like, well, screw it, I'm going to draw my own.
Well, but, okay, so look at my Clue display here, and look how cool it is having the movie poster there, and then some of my art next to
it. It's true, but if there was never a good Clue poster,
but then,
and I could draw mine like you...
There is a good Princess Bride poster.
There is a great Princess
Bride
poster.
It's hanging in the kitchen.
But who knew you would have to go to Italy for it?
It's amazing. It's the most metal Princess Bride poster you could possibly imagine.
It's the most metal thing you own.
It is.
I've only seen the top half of it, though. I still want to see the grandpa reading the book part I was going to say, I can only imagine how spectacular that part of the poster was.
Yeah, grandpa's got
horns. It's not like...
it's not Schwarzenegger reading to Daniel.
I was going to say, it's going to be... that's what I was picturing. I was like, it's going to be like total like sleeves ripped off and buff arms. And he's like...
Yeah,
you've never heard a story like this.
He's tearing the book in half.
That's kissing.
Murdered by pirates is excellent. So yeah, that's my pick. I got it for a somewhat... For as big as it is, I got it for a great price.
Yeah, that's a steal.
I think I got it for like $26 with shipping.
That's because it's basically wallpaper for a wall.
It really is.
Although it was shipped poorly. I mean,
it was shipped so poorly. It was literally wrapped around a piece of cardboard, and that cardboard was wrapped with an old poster. Single layer thick. So when it arrived, there were holes in all four corners of the envelope. It took over a month to get here from Italy. And I think the only reason it didn't get damaged is that there are so many stamps on the front of it that it created a protective seal.
It took a month to get here from Italy?
It took a month. It sat in
Did they
New
walk
York.
It here by mule?
It sat in New York for almost 2.5 weeks. I am assuming some sort of... impound
customs.
Fucking Trump was inspecting it or something.
I'm sure it was just customs.
I'm sure it was customs.
I've ordered so many records from England, and they do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it takes forever to get here.
Yeah, I think they take a lot longer to sort them when they get there, and
which is strange to me because I've
really
ordered stuff.
So many ports.
But I've ordered things from China, and they just.
You know, I think they must go through
a different
spot. But for
some reason, Britain, like, oh, what does he need a record from Britain for?
British records.
Oh, this is some kind of weird technology from China. Send it through.
You know, that's the only thing I can assume is that China must ship through, like, California and up.
San Francisco.
Yeah, versus, like all the UK and... Like, European countries go through New York, and that might be the difference right there.
I don't know, because I ordered my gloves from China, and they took, like, a month and a half.
Really?
But, I mean, again, they were, like, a pair of gloves. I cannot believe that I got a pair of gloves from China, and had I known, I wouldn't have ordered them. But, holy fuck.
So, yeah, that poster's rad. I'll put it up on the website on deeplydapper.com so you can see a picture of the sweet poster.
He'll put it up on the website because it's the only place it fits.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, I don't think I can frame it. I looked into a piece of plexi big enough, and it would cost me well over $200 for a piece of plexi to cover it. So I think I'm just going to have to hang it up in the hallway there, like, back behind
the
door.
Which is really excessive when you think about it.
For the plexi?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, even I even looked into possibly doing, like, four panels of plexi and just lining it up with the folds on it, because it was folded originally, and lining it up that way, and it was still going to be over $150 for the plexiglass. It's just, like, once you get over a certain size, it gets obscenely expensive, and I don't want to have to play jigsaw puzzle with plexi over the front of it or anything, so I'll just probably put up, like, a almost treat it like a tapestry. You can come and look at my tapestries.
This is an English castle and there are many tapestries. But if you are Scottish Lord, I am Mickey Mouse.
Oh, I want to watch.
Did you get a writing prop too? Right
now.
It's on Hulu.
I don't have the Hulus.
I have the Blu-rays.
This is how we say goodbye in Germany.
How do they look?
They're fucking gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah.
How much were they on Blu-ray?
I don't know. I got it for Christmas last year. From my lovely brother here. From mein Bruder. He also gave me a riding crop.
Oh, I'm tempted.
It's really nice, dude. So, how do we get a hold of you guys? Devin.
By my throat.
I noticed LostWars.com is no longer live.
Yeah.
By the scrotum.
That died January 26th. I still have the option to renew, but I'm not going to do it because it's like $150 or something.
And you're just going to start posting stuff on the blog on deeplydapper.com.
Yeah, you should. Did you get me that info?
I have not. I need to.
Okay.
So you can get a hold of Devin on Twitter or Instagram. On Instagram, you're at Devin's Ego.
Yep.
On Twitter, you're Lost_Horrors.
Uh-huh.
And we'll have links to both of those on the website. Oh, Ben, we've missed you and your horrors. Ben, how can they get a hold of you?
By the scrotum.
Such a good thing your 12-year-old son doesn't listen to this.
Are we sure?
No, we're not really.
Oh, man.
So you can get a hold of Ben by the scrotum. I personally have never tried to contact him that way. I'm actually blushing.
Are you afraid he'd get a literal broder?
God.
Broder.
Thank you, Scream Queens, for that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm totally going to steal that. That was, like, one of the best lines.
I can be found on deeplydapper.com. That's my username on Instagram and Twitter. It's just deeplydapper. You can also go to Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Because all year, we are going to be doing a new pin every month. And this we decided this is how we're going to do our enamel pin designs. We're just going to do a new design each month. If you guys like them enough, we'll make them. Right now, we have a tentacle and a top hat Kickstarter going. And we've hit our goal on it, and it's still got 24 days to go. 23, 21 days by the time you guys listen to this. Go and support it.
What's your goal for?
$300. We're just trying to hit manufacturing costs on it. Beyond that, if we're lucky, we'll make enough to pay the designers, which is me or Devin. So we'd like you to pay us.
You could design a pen.
I'd like to get paid for art someday.
Wouldn't that be nice to get paid for art?
I don't know
just
what that
art?
Feels like, but...
And one of the things we've done on this is we've got our traditional red tentacle design. But we've also done a Day of the Tentacle colorway on it. So it's got the nice purple and green colors.
It's for when you feel like you could take over the world.
Yeah.
I like that one better.
It's pretty cool,
it's
huh?
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So we're really happy with those. As always, you can go to deeplydapper.com and go to the store and buy our previous enamel pins and art and flasks and all sorts of shit.
Indeedy-doody.
If you live in the Portland area, Lindsay and I will be at Portland Wizard World in February, like, 17th through 19th. You can come there and check out some stuff. We should have pretty much everything there that we usually have at shows. Beyond that, I think the next one we've got is SaltCon, which Ben traditionally comes with me, but I don't know if he'll be able to go this time or not. We'll have to see. He's invited anyway. We'll see if he shows up or not. And that's in Layton, Utah. It's a gaming convention. It's super fun. They've got like a free library of 600 games you can check out and play in return. And come by our booth and buy some shit. As
not
always,
literal shit.
Not literal shit, no. That's That's from after the show. No. As always...
Is there going to be another prom going on?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. They've expanded it to an extra day this year, so it's a four-day con.
They had a prom going on there.
Yeah,
like,
it was
last
funny.
Time we were there, they had an actual prom. But like, we're in Utah, and so I totally wanted to try and sneak in and spike
their
punch.
None of them were drunk or having sex.
I wanted them to spike their punch. It was amazing looking at some of, like, some of the kids.
It was pretty funny.
Like, yeah, he's not going to get any tonight.
Yeah, either that or it was just like, man, you guys are lucky you're in the same church. Because you'd never get any other one. If you would like to, if you enjoy the show, if you enjoy listening to us, please hop over to iTunes.
Psychiatric help.
Yeah, that too. But rate us, subscribe. The ratings help us show up a little more prominently in the iTunes listings.
If you don't like us, don't rate us.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
don't rate us either.
Walk away. Nobody has to die.
You guys... Everybody likes us. Come on. They wouldn't have made it this far in the podcast if they didn't like listening to us.
If you've made it this far in the podcast, please let us know.
Yes. And if there's something you think we should watch, there's a different terrible horror TV show that we need to watch the first episode of, or some sweet movie that we're missing out on.
Hey, we need to watch that thing that you talked about that director liked
the
tweet
with the actor
on.
In it.
Manny Shamilammy?
No.
Whoa, back up. Is that a real thing?
Mammy
Shamilammy?
That's just what I call it.
M-Night
Shyamalama.
I was like, holy crap, I want to see this.
No, that's just what I call M-Night Shyamalama's Mammy Shamilammy.
If you make a movie called Mammy Shamilammy, I will watch
it. Ben will watch that. It sounds like it would be some sort of really studly sheep of some sort.
The director of Death Race 2050 just liked my tweet about how much I like Death Race 2050.
Hey, all right.
So, hooray.
Right on. That director's awesome. Oh. I can't pronounce his name, but he's awesome.
J.J. Ekternkamp, I think, is...
So we watched Death Race 2050 last week.
What's that?
It is a campy Roger Corman movie about cars killing passengers.
Okay,
but
are you... Is that the one
it's
with the young Stallone?
It's
no.
A sequel to the original Death Race from the 70s. It stars Manu Bennett.
Oh.
And he is drenched in glistening sweat the
real
entire
sweat.
Time. And so we talked on the podcast last episode, and I was like, do you think that was real, or were they spritzing him the whole time? And the director listened to our podcast last week and tweeted me, and he's like, the sweat was real! It's amazing. You should watch it. It's on Netflix. It's really fun.
It's really good.
It's campy as shit,
I like
but it's really
Bennett.
Fun.
And I like Death Race, so... Because, like, the original one in the 70s was actually one of Sylvester Stallone's first appearances. He was one of
really?
The drivers.
That's true.
That's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one's got, like, well, it's got Kit, but he's called Abe. And it's got...
Is it the same voice?
No.
Is it
Mr.
Feeney?
That broke my
no.
heart.
And it's Malcolm McDowell plays the chairman in it.
Isn't that the villain?
Yeah,
of course.
He's amazing.
The Dark
the
Tapes.
The McDowell villain.
The Dark Tape. Oh, yeah, we do need to see that.
The McDowell factor.
Yes. So, yeah, I come back next week. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. You're listening to Deeply Dapper Dispatches with Chris and Devin. We'll see you next Wednesday.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
If you ever watch any of the old 80s, like cop shows or anything like that, if any McDowell is in them, they're the killer. Like, it's like, it's a spoiler right there.
If you're watching it
and it's like Roddy or
wrong.
Malcolm,
he's not
the killer. It even started to extend to Addie McDowell.